Blog Talk Radio.
Thank God for everyone who has called in. And so everyone is on the internet, and we thank God for another Tuesday night broadcast. Glory to God. He get all the praises and all the glory and all the honor. This is Evangelist Hannah. I will be your host for tonight. And we have our very own pastor, Apostle Leonard Emmons. He's going to come on tonight again. He comes on every first Tuesday. And I know he has a right now word in his belly from the Lord. Apostle, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very clearly. Glory to God.
Well, bless God for you, woman of God. Praise the name of Jesus.
Bless God for you also, Apostle. Bless God for you also, man of God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just cover the man of God in the blood of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that the word of God till tonight shall go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I plead the bloodline, Lord God, over the internet, Lord God, over the phone lines, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you for the man of God, Lord God. I thank you again for the right now word that you have in his belly. Glory be to God. And Apostle, I yield the lines to you.
Well, bless God. We praise God for you, Evangelist Hannah. We praise God for the work that you're doing. Even in the midst of everything the enemy would look to try to discourage you by, we also praise God for kingdom builders, for kingdom daughters, especially for Minister Prophetess Teresa and her husband, Brother Quentin Dox, as well as the rest of the Kingdom Builders International around the country and the globe. We bless God for all of you this evening for the privilege even to have this opportunity to share with you. We pray God's strength and God's blessing, God's wisdom, God's advancements, God's prosperity and favor upon kingdom builders and upon the initiatives that God has placed into your hands. And we trust that even as you all continue to reach for even the vision that God has given you, that you will continue to appropriate even the very wealth of heaven. This evening, again, it's an absolute blessing and privilege to be with you this evening, all of you. We're just grateful to God for the opportunity. It is a blessing to be able to speak, not to mention we don't want to minimize the other blessings that God has graced all of us with. Regardless of what situation that God has given you, it is a situation, a circumstance, it is a position for you and I to establish rule and to dominate whatever the enemy has presented. Amen. We're grateful to God for this first Tuesday of the month of June. This is a glorious time and a blessed month. And we encourage all of you to look for miracles every day, every month, and all throughout this year. We have decreed and declared before that we believe God for miracles throughout this year. And we're trusting Jesus to bear witness mightily. And some of us, of course, in situations that are perfect for miracles. I mean, you're dealing with things that, tailor-made for the supernatural. And as I, this evening, want to encourage you, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles over to a passage of Scripture that may or may not be familiar to you, praise the name of Jesus, but I'd like for you to go over with us, praise God, to the wonderful gospel, praise God, of, glory to God, the gospel of Luke, the first chapter, Luke the first chapter, and we have an account here of a really a marvelous, miraculous time, but we see that the enemy even unfortunately moved in this time of miracles. The first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we have a lot of angelic activity, and we're not going to read everything, but I want you to note here in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, it says, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, mind you, it goes on to talk about unfortunately, how this couple had not been able to bear any children. And I want to encourage those of you, especially this evening, that have been barren in whatever way possible, I want you to stretch your faith and believe God for the miraculous and the supernatural. I believe that God has set you in the earth for such a time as this. It's time for you to give birth. It's time for you to see the miraculous. Elizabeth and her husband, even though they were of a what I consider a royal lineage, they were priests of the Most High God, and yet they were barren. We see that in verse 7. And even the woman of God and the man of God were stricken in years. And it came to pass, verse 8, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And it tells us that, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And it went on to say that he had this conversation with this angel and praised the name of Jesus. And this was the informative angel. This was none other than Gabriel. He is the head of the Central Intelligence Department in heaven, and he is now bearing witness of a secret, and he's informing this man of God that God was going to move upon his life. Now, mind you, those of you under the sound of my voice, this is not the time to throw in the towel. This is not the time to cast off constraints. This is the time to believe God. And it goes on to say that while the angel was talking to this man of God, and he goes on, the angel goes on to prophesy, even to Zacharias. And look at verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. For those of you that have been holding on for a long time, for those of you that it seems like, you know, you've been well doing, you've been doing everything that you know to bless God, and you might even appear to be old in your own mind, or maybe even others may have looked at you and they conclude that you're old. Well, guess what? You might be that. I'm not going to say that you are or that you're not, but I want you to understand something. God is not through with you yet. By you even hearing my voice this evening is representative that you're even closer to a miracle. Here, the angel told him that he and his wife, Zachariah and Elizabeth, were going to give birth, even in their old age. And unfortunately, Zacharias was challenged with some of the natural things that he was dealing with. And here it tells us, it says, whereby shall I know this, Zacharias says, for I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings or this good news. I decree this evening that the angelic hosts right now are with you, my brother, with you, my sister, and they're galvanized and they're in a position of readiness tonight to move on your behalf, to move even as you call upon the name of the Lord and trust Jesus. Let's keep reading. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, he doubted. He allowed something to rob him of the joy and the expectation of believing. He doubted, and we want to talk a little bit about doubt, but also we want you to be aware that even in the midst of the miraculous and the supernatural, and you can see this, a lot of times, you know, you could be standing right next to somebody and they could be experiencing a miracle. They could be experiencing the very weighty presence of God, the kabod of God. And they might even fall under the power or something supernatural, miraculous might happen, and you might be right next to them. And you might even have a tendency to disbelieve, doubt, or suffer from some degree of unbelief. Tonight we want to focus on doubt. Doubt is an enemy of the body of Christ. It's an enemy of man. And it's an enemy that you and I tonight, we need to deal with. We need to take a look at this. And in fact, I'll need for you to turn in your Bibles back over to the, first of all, to take a look at where we see introduced the first time some inklings of this thing of doubt. Turn back to Genesis, the third chapter, and we see the account. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And it goes on to talk about this creature that was walking in the Garden of Eden. According to what we've come to understand, this serpent had the capacity to speak and to talk and was talking with Eve. And the serpent raised the question to Eve in the latter part of this verse 1. He said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. In one commentator's review, it says it this way, is it really so that God said? So he's questioning the word of God. When we look at Zacharias and even when we look at others in scriptures that have been challenged with doubt and unbelief, the question is raised many times, and the question lingers, and it becomes now a fiery dart. It becomes a missile, a scud missile from the enemy. And it's to bring us into a place of disagreement and a place of discord with the word. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And listen to verse 4. And the serpent said unto Eve, ye shall not surely die. Now, we have another voice here. And this is this spirit now that is waging war with this woman of God. And the war that you and I are faced with daily is a war to get us to agree with the enemy. I need for you also to turn to James very quickly, because we want to go to where we want to spend a great deal of our time this evening. Praise the name of Jesus. Over to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter. Now, listen to what it says. And some of us right now, we fit this category. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, some of the translations even say trials, difficulties, challenges even, whatever you might want to call the situation, circumstance, that you're in now, trust me, right now the wisdom of God is for you to count it all joy. Count it all joy. Now, to count it all joy means that you're going to have to act like something is not the way it appears to be. That also means you're going to have to see things differently than what might be happening in the natural. It says, count it all joy. Now, this word count is an accounting term. It is a CP certified public accountant's term. And it is one that we need to actually look at what we're dealing with, and we need to record it, account it, reference it, as a point for us to rejoice. Now, as we continue to look at this, is that when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, diverse temptations by the enemy many times is to do what the enemy wants us to do. And that, what I mean by, just like we read there with Eve in the third chapter of Genesis, the enemy's desire is to steal, kill, and destroy, of course, according to what Jesus said in John the 10th chapter, verse 10. However, he has to actually talk us out of the blessing. He has to talk us out of our position of trusting God and believing God. And his desire is to infuse doubt. Now, doubt is one of the fruit of the root of sin. And by that, I'm talking about iniquity. Iniquity is the mother of all sin. It is the actual plant, and the root system of sin is found in iniquity. Now, we're going to get into that in just a minute as far as to elaborate a little bit, but I want you to see it. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And all of us, you know, we're challenged by various temptations. We are. And, you know, God the Father is not upset by the temptations that he has allowed for you and I to deal with. The temptations are there for us to thrive. The temptations are there for us to be victorious, to take dominion, to take authority, and to reveal Christ to that situation. The temptations are there as a platform for us to praise God. The temptations are there for as a platform for us to worship God and to declare his glory. However, we're going to have another spirit, just like Caleb and Joshua did. When they went into the promised land, the Bible notes that one of the reasons why they were the only two that left Egypt to go into the promised land is because they had another spirit. And you and I, brother, you and I, my sister, we have to have the spirit of faith. We have to have another spirit. The thing that the enemy wants us to have is a spirit of doubt. It's a spirit of unbelief. It's a spirit of depression, a spirit of unsettling reliance upon the systems of this world, which will always put you in the ditch of life, which will always put you in a place of depression, despondency, discouragement. However, if we decide that we're going to count every situation as a situation or a circumstance for us to be joyous and to be glad and a place and a position for us to praise God, then we're going to see. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that we would be content. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally, and abrade it not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. It says, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And it goes on to describe what kind of position that doubt puts us in. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, it goes on to let us know here that if we are in a position of doubt, or if we're wavering, or if we're double-minded or schizoid, that it puts us in a place where we cannot gain or get anything from God. We can't ask like we need to. We can't relate to God like we need to if doubt is ruling our hearts. Now, we see the account there in the first chapter of Luke that Zacharias, because of whatever, he was placed in a situation where he had a supernatural encounter with the number one information angel in the kingdom of God in heaven. The head of the CIA, the head of the information department, Gabriel. We see him all through scripture as the one that moved as God commanded to inform mankind of revelatory announcements and revelatory information. And Zacharias had that information. He was right there in the presence of this unbelievably powerful entity. And yet, he doubted. I would dare say he was probably moved by something that had been moving upon him for a while. I need for you to turn in your Bibles over to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. Now, you today, even as some of you, praise God, you had a very powerful word from the Lord on last Sunday. You know, the man or woman of God, whether it was, you know, he or she was an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, a teacher, you heard a powerful word, and you were moved. And yet, now, mind you, that was 2 days ago. You know, and that word, it caused you to be encouraged. You know, you got excited about the things of God. Again, you were moved even by the spirit of obedience to give God what he wanted. And I want to encourage you, the spirit of obedience is released tonight to bring us back into a place of absolute reliance and trust in the Father. And we rebuke and bind up the spirit of doubt and unbelief tonight. I curse the very root of doubt and unbelief tonight. I dismantle and annihilate every plan, every purpose, every strategy, every wow, every design of doubt and unbelief in your life tonight, my brother, in Christ Jesus' name. Look over here with me, if you would, please. Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. Now, as we read the Bible, we got to recognize and remember, God is the one that authored the Bible. He's the one that moved upon the hearts of men and women over the course of the ages, you know, to ensure the Bible's protection and safety. And we know, glory to God, the prophetic books are there to bring us into a place of oneness and seeing our God, especially from the miraculous dimension. In the book of Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, we have here Ezekiel move. He's moved by this supernatural encounter, and he receives a word. Verse 11, the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, verse 11. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Now, mind you, he's talking about a man, but he's also talking about an entity behind or that has superimposed itself upon and in and through the man. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." First of all, this man, the king of Tyrus, had not been in Eden. However, there was a time and point where the entity of the spirit behind that had intertwined and superimposed itself upon and in the man had been in Eden. Now listen, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. It says the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou hast created." So this was a created being here that the prophet was receiving revelation about, and this created being had been in the Eden of God. Look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, it goes on to describe this creature, this created being. And it calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. It says, and I have set thee so. And these are the words of the Lord. God said, I've set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. In other words, this creature, this entity, this being, was created perfect until, it says, till iniquity was found in thee. So there came a point in time where this created being, which was perfect, at some point allowed this stuff, this very foreign substance to be found in it called iniquity. It said, verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. So now we find this substance inside of this, at first this created being that was created perfect, but then now this substance, this ugly, grotesque thing was found in it, in its heart, called iniquity, which caused the entity, this spirit, to sin. It said, therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. It says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. Now, mind you, I want you to listen to this. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, first of all, I want you to understand the entity that we're speaking of as we're reading in verse 11 on is this entity named Lucifer. Lucifer. Now, I want you to note in his perfect state before iniquity was found in him, which caused him to sin, he was perfect in all of his ways. He was absolutely beautiful. Remember, God created him this way. And unfortunately, when the iniquity now was found in him, which caused him to sin, we see that he went from being called the anointed cherub that covered in verse 14 to in verse 16 to just the covering cherub. In other words, he was not anointed by God anymore. There was no anointing from God that flowed and operated in him. He went from the anointed cherub that covered to just the covering cherub, the covering angelic being. Now, and we hope to look to amplify a thing or two regarding this, because it's important for us to note many times the reasons why we doubt God is because the covering cherub, this unclean spirit, this demon, this warring entity from the dark pits of hell, this ruler spirit assigned to us, this familiar spirit that's been on our bloodline, that caused our ancestors to doubt God, that caused our ancestors to be double-minded. This entity, this spirit, this covering cherub, its whole purpose is to bring us into disagreement with God the Father, as it did with Eve and as it did with humanity throughout the ages. Now, this covering cherub, it is a spirit that we are to put underneath our feet. Now, remember now, according to Luke 10, it says that Jesus has delegated to us his authority, his exousia, and his dunamis power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. And by no means shall anything hurt us. There's a need for us to take authority. And the way we're going to do that is what it says in the latter part of verse 17. God said, I'm going to lay this entity, this spirit, this demon, this ruler spirit, this principality, this power, I'm going to lay this thing before kings. My brother, I don't know if you understand it, but you are of royal destiny, of royal lineage. You are of royal root. The Bible calls you and I, as believers, as royal priests. We are kings and priests unto God and after God, after the order of Melchizedek. So God wants to lay this demon, this entity before you. He said, I will lay thee before kings that they may behold. You know, it's unfortunate that men in the body of Christ, especially some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, have decided that they're not going to look at the devil anymore, that they're not even going to behold him. And yet this scripture here tells us that God wants us to look at him. Look at verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore, when I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them. Now listen, what's in sight of all them that behold thee. So again, there's this words, these words. God said we need to look at the devil. The Bible says, God the Father said, I want you and I, us as members of the, you know, we as, if we claim to be kings and priests of God, if we claim to be born again, then it is our responsibility to respond to the word of God. And it tells us that we're to look at the enemy. Look at what it also says in verse 19. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Oh, so I'm supposed to know the devil? Yes, you are, my brother. Yes, you are, my sister. You're supposed to know him defeated. You're supposed to know him dismantled, destroyed, annihilated. You're supposed to know that he's supposed to be underneath your feet all of the time. You are supposed to know him as spoiled principalities and powers. The Bible tells us in Colossians that Jesus, our King and Lord, has spoiled, dismantled, annihilated, disarmed principalities and powers and made a show of them. Oh, you're supposed to know the devil through those lenses. You're not supposed to know him as the exalted one. No, that's Jesus. You're supposed to know. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. We're supposed to be so astonished at Satan's defeat that we're never intimidated by anything. It says, thou shalt be a terror, and neither shalt thou be any more. We're supposed to know him, Satan and his cohorts, as a defeated group. Regardless of the resident things, the recent challenges, the temptations, the trials, the tests, the challenge, however you want to call it, regardless of what you're looking at and dealing with now, it is a position that God wants you to take authority. He wants you to rise up. He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to shout. He wants you to praise him. He wants you to worship him in the midst of what you're dealing with. Why? Because Satan is dismantled and he's destroyed. Now mind you, we're talking about doubt tonight. Remember, doubt is one of those, doubt itself is a unfortunate state that any of us could yield ourselves to. Doubt, you know, there's a spirit, there's a demon called doubt. There's a spirit, there's a demon called unbelief. And God expects us to please him. And the Bible says that if we're going to please God, that the only way we can please him is through faith, is by faith. The Bible tells us without faith it is impossible to please our God. And it's crucial for me to stay on line with God. Right? It's crucial for you and I to believe, even in the midst of what you're dealing with. God, now, listen to what is a definition of what doubt is. Doubt is defined as you or I, you and I, potentially, judging ourselves out of the goodness, the mercy, the favor, and the grace of God. Well, you and I would judge ourselves as inappropriate to be touched by God's mercy, inappropriate and disqualified to be touched by God's grace, inappropriate and disqualified for being blessed with what the new covenant has put in place. Doubt is judging ourselves out of the will of God, judging ourselves out of the mercy, the grace, the favor, and the goodness of God. And what we end up doing with the spirit of doubt and unbelief's help, the enemy will give us reasons why we cannot receive, or that we are invalidated from being blessed by God. And some of you, you know, you've been listening well to the covering cherub. You've been listening well to this local principality, regional demon, this ruler spirit assigned, this territorial spirit, or this familiar spirit that's been on your bloodline for decades. But tonight I want you to understand, the Bible says we're supposed to look at them, and we're supposed to put them in their place. Look what it says. Turn over to Isaiah, the 14th chapter, as we gain some more insight to this spirit and where this demon, these demons came from. Now look what it talks about here. I mean, now mind you, in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, verses 11 on, we see there that the prophet is given revelation and insight regarding even the origin of this covering cherub. This covering cherub at one point was the anointed cherub that covered. But because this demon, this entity, this personality, let's get some more information about this entity. The 14th chapter of Isaiah, verse 12, it says, "Thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer." As we noted earlier, even the scriptural references there in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, verses 11 on, is referring to Lucifer. It's referring to him in the glory of him being a created being that was perfect. And then as time went on, he allowed this substance called iniquity to be found in him. And here it gives us some kind of insight as to what happened. It says, "Thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer." And that word Lucifer means, or light bearer. Light bearer. I want you to take note of that. Light bearer. It says, "Son of the morning." It says, "How art thou cut down to the ground?" Oh, I wonder why. "Which did weaken the nations." Oh, yeah, that's what the nation seems to be weakened by some reason. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, mind you, please you understand, the anointed cherub that covered was over the worship in heaven. He, you know, the anointing cherub that covered was over the praise in heaven. And this anointed cherub, Lucifer, God created him perfect. He was created by God to minister in the kingdom of God. And he had under his authority a third of the angelic host. And he was created beautiful. God created him that way. Every sound of music was fused and was intertwined and placed in him. God designed him perfectly. I mean, he was any of the melodious sounds that you love to hear, regardless of what musical instrument or origin, was in Lucifer. He was not only created with all of the capacity to be over all of the praise and worship and the music in heaven, but he also was created beautiful. God decked him out with precious stones, and as we read earlier there, unfortunately, he got caught up. And please, it's important for us to understand, we can't get caught up. And mind you, some of you all, you know, you got to check yourself. You got to recognize. I mean, the reason, you know, it's wonderful to have some aspirations and to want to do well in the kingdom of God. But remember, it's all about Jesus. You know, some of you under the sound of my voice, you know, you may have one of those melodious voices where you can hit every note, the highs and the lows, and you have one of those angelic talents, and you're anointed of God, and praise God for you. We ain't mad at you. And some of you, maybe you don't have the voice, but, you know, you can preach like Billy Sunday. You can preach to the point for where folk, you know, they just pass out on me, you know. Some of you, you know, you got a teaching anointing on you. And some of you evangelists, you have an evangelistic grace and anointing. And you know, and there's a power. About some of you are moved by the gifts of the Spirit. And you know, you get gifts of healing flowing. And you know, you got an anointing to cast out devils. And you know, and just glorious things you prophesy accurately. And you know, all those things. And those are absolutely glorious. And I praise God for the grace of God on my life in some of those areas. But at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. Lucifer got caught up. He started looking at the talent. He started looking at the gift. He started looking at himself in the mirror. Fell in love with himself. Remember, he was beautiful. He was gorgeous. He was handsome and all those things. He fell in love with himself. And he fell so much in love with himself that he decided, you know, and I can only imagine what it was like for him to be the orchestra leader in heaven and to orchestrate and ignite and activate all of the praise and worship. And I imagine one day, at one point, he started to feel the power, the praise of the angelic hosts and the heavenly beings. And maybe he got caught up to the point where he said, you know what, I want this for me. We see here he said numerous times, he said, I will ascend, one. I will exalt, two. I will sit, three, and verse 13. And then it says, verse 14, I will ascend above. There's another reference. And then it says, I will be like the Most High. He got caught up. And some of us, maybe we're caught up in what we've been doing and what we want to do, and we have been looking at our natural resources. We've been looking at our natural talents. We've been looking at our natural abilities to the point, and we've seen where we're limited. And so because of the limitations of what we've seen in our own abilities or talents or skills, especially with the way things have been going economically on the planet for the last roughly 4 years, you know, you've gotten to the place where now you've allowed fear to come in. You've allowed fear and doubt and unbelief to come in. Remember, now, fear, doubt, and unbelief, they're not your friends. All they're trying to do is rob you of your faith, rob you of your ability to believe God. And remember now, at the end of your life, that's all that's going to really measure any significance. You believe in God. Remember, that's the only way you can please God. Look what it says. It says, yet, verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, they that see thee. Oh, here's another reference. In other words, any of you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, any of you anointed teachers of the gospel or preachers, first of all, we ought to be looking at the enemy. Here's another reference. It says, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying this, listen to this, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Man and woman of God, those you leaders out there, you spiritual leaders, it's crucial for you to teach the people to look at the enemy. It's crucial for you to teach spiritual warfare and to preach and teach and train up and bring the people up in deliverance, bring the people up in and the anointing that dismantles the covering cherub. Now, if you don't, doubt and unbelief is going to be like a plague. And we got actually some preachers, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers out there that are afraid of the devil, afraid of the enemy. And one reason why is because they're not looking at the enemy destroyed, annihilated, defeated by our King Christ Jesus. And they dare not teach people to look at the enemy. Now, doubt and unbelief will enslave us. We need to deal with this covering cherub. Remember, the fruit of iniquity, one of the fruits is doubt and unbelief. Iniquity is the root. It is the major problem, this thing of iniquity. And we have to deal. And even since we've been born again, y'all, we still got to deal with some of the realities of this. When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not Eve, when Adam ate, because he was the one that God had given the authority and given the right to rule and reign, and Eve was, of course, his helper. However, the authority was given to Adam. And when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when he did that, the rebellion, the disobedience, the high treason, it caused Adam to suffer iniquity. And iniquity was now lodged in his heart, and it brought spiritual death. And God, the Father, the Spirit of God, left him. And Adam now was a corrupt spirit, a corrupt soul in the earth, with his wife, who now suffered the same judgment. And in his own mind, he was corrupted too, not only in his heart, but in his mind and his soul. And now Adam became a monster, a Frankenstein monster. Now he was ruled by his flesh, his body, and the information his body was gaining through the world. And he was ruled by his soul. Now, mind you, God did not design him that way. In the midst of this, in his own mind, he suffered now a disease condition of his soul now lodged in his very, in the very essence of his very being. And even today, as born again believers, we're still a challenge with the disease in our souls. Now, mind you, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit came in and renovated our hearts, renovated our spirits. And now our hearts and our spirits are renovated to the point that the Holy Ghost can live inside. He's taken up residency. But in our souls, in our mind, will, and emotions, We still suffer from the disease called apathy. This is a disease condition of the soul that causes us to forever be wanting. And there's this interest or desire for stuff and for things, to lust after things. Now, this is a very earnest disease. It's a disease, though, that can be controlled. It's like those of you that may, under the sound of my voice, be challenged with diabetes. You know, if you do the right things, the diabetes can be controlled, even to the point that someday, who knows, maybe you can get totally healed. I want you to understand, though, this is disease condition of the soul's apathy. This is a disease condition that needs to be dealt with by the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that we are to be, what, transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we are to allow the Word of God to renew us. And this is what brings us into a place where we can deal with this, if you will, disability in the mind and in the soul. Some of you are aware that we, because of the fall of Adam, we only use 4 to 12% of our mental capacity. It is because of this disease condition of the soul that we are challenged this way. And so the enemy works against that breach, against that inadequacy. And he looks to bring in this disagreement and this double-mindedness. This spirit of doubt will come when we least expect it, when we're at our seemingly highest place of trusting God. And this spirit, this demon, will look to sow a fresh cold water of depression, a fresh reminder that we don't have that kind of money in the bank, that we don't have that kind of talent inside of us, when the very essence of what we have is in God. The very essence of our potential, the very essence of our capacity, the very essence of our longing for success is found in God. And yet, if we're willing to believe, we can see that potential, that potential of God to be released. I'm hurrying to my close this evening. My brother, my sister, we need to put God to the test. Turn over here to John. You know, we look at some remedy for this challenge that we're faced with. All of us are, to some degree. Praise God. In John 7:17, praise God. Look what it says. Let's begin reading at verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Verse 17, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." So here's a remedy. Do the will of God. Put God to the test. The enemy, has now this fresh attack upon you. An area where you find the need to doubt God, where you've looked at all the paperwork, you've done all the study and the research, and as you conclude what you conclude, you see that according to you and what you got, you can't do it. Well, here's the thing. Put God to the test. I challenge you. If it's the will of God for you to do what you know you are called to do, put God to the test. Turn over to Acts 17. If it's the will of God, you'll see God move. Now, some of you say, "But I'd be scared." Well, see, that's that spirit of doubt again. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I bind up that spirit in Jesus' name. In Acts 17, verse 11, let's look at verse 10 first. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, verse 11. These were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they received the word of God that you received, my brother, the word of God you received, my sister. You know that was from God. Why are you caught between two opinions? If it's God, believe God. Listen what it says. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were... Now, you know that what you heard was from the Lord. Why are you caught between two opinions? Why are you challenged to doubt God? You know good well that God is the one that gave you. He gave you that dream. Some of you had a night vision. Some of you heard a word of prophecy, and you know good well that the man or woman that gave you that word of prophecy, they didn't even know who you were, and yet it was a pure word of prophecy. And it described your situation to the hilt, and yet you're doubting? No, be like the Bereans. It says, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Verse 12, therefore many of them believed. My brother believed, my sister believed tonight. Come on, this, you know, when it out all doubt, just believe. Forget the doubt. Cross out the doubt. I rebuke the spirit of doubt tonight. I bind up the spirit of unbelief. It says, therefore many of them believe. So believe tonight. Take your foot off the brake tonight. Put your foot on the gas and believe God. Believe God. Go with me, and we're almost there, to Luke 16. Yeah, I know it looks bad, you know. I mean, it maybe is looking the worst it has ever looked. But search the scriptures. Be like the Berean church. Put God to the test. Over in Luke 16, verse 27, let's look at what we have here. It says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Some of you under the sound of my voice tonight, those of you hearing tonight, I want you to understand something. You need to believe the word. Those of you that don't know Jesus and are part of your sin, and those of you that do, you need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe in the word of God made flesh, the Lord of glory. You need to believe. Listen what it says. It says, verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, some of you say, oh, I just wish I had a supernatural experience like Zacharias. I like some of these other folk from the scriptures. Well, you got a sure word of prophecy tonight. The Spirit of God is there with you tonight. You're hearing the words of the Lord Jesus tonight through me tonight. I'm a vessel. I'm an instrument. I'm a priest of the Most High God. I've been graced by God to be able to draw near to God and to hear what God is saying. And tonight I'm repeating what God has said. You know, believe the word. Believe the word about Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, you know, through his word, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible says that he hasn't changed. Now, I want you to understand this, so that you can rob doubt and unbelief of the victory that it's trying to exert over you. I want you to rise up in faith, my brother. Rise up in faith, my sister, and see the victory won. I want you to understand the covering cherub is there to stop the glory of God from being manifested in your life. I want you also, in closing, I want you to look over here into the Old Testament. Over here to the book of Numbers. And I want you to recognize a fact. Numbers, the 23rd chapter. The 19th verse. I want to encourage you with these words. I want you to understand you can trust God. Regardless of what the devil has highlighted, regardless of what the covering cherub has magnified, it may be sickness, disease, it may be economic crisis, disaster, you know, maybe a situation that you have no clue of. You may even think that God has been unjust in allowing what he's allowed, but I want you to understand something. You can trust God. Look at verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. So you can trust him. The promises of God are worthy of our reliance and our trust. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. It says, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said that? Has God said it? Did he say it? Did you hear him say it? Did you hear that word of prophecy? Did you have that dream? Was this some result of you know, you feeling like you felt? Was it because of some encounter? Maybe you had an encounter with an angel. I mean, all these reasons are reasons for you to trust God, for you to believe God. Here it tells us, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. It says, hath he said? Hath God said? And shall he not do it? God will, and he is doing it. You've got to buy that tonight with faith, my brother, my sister. You've got to buy that tonight. It says, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken? Did he speak it? Did he say it? Some of you have had an inward witness. You know good and well that you heard God's voice. And then the enemy came. The Bible tells us in Mark 4 that the sower sows the word. And as soon as the word is sown, the enemy comes to steal the word, to take the word, or to cause us to throw up or vomit up the word. Because remember, it's the word of God that's going to bring the increase. The prophet says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it, the word of God, shall not return unto me void. It shall, what? It shall prosper in the thing whereto God sends it. It will not return to our God void. You got to understand. And it tells us again in 19th verse, it says, or hath he spoken it? And shall he not make it good? God has given us his word so that we can have the right kind of evidence to continue to see him fulfill. God has given us the word of God, in closing, so that we can now hold on because it is the substance that God has given us to hold on in the earth so that we could see the end result. Isaiah 55, it tells us, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word, his promise, will accomplish that what God has been pleased to speak into existence, and it shall prosper. It's going to advance. It's going to succeed. It's going to avail. The Bible tells us that, and this is a quote that we quote every Sunday, practically at our fellowship and ministry, in Acts 20, verse 32, and Acts 19, verse 20, it tells us, praise the name of Jesus, it tells us in the word of God, glory to God. First of all, I want you to understand, the word of God needs to grow in you, my brother. It needs to grow in you, my sister. In Acts 20, verse 32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to give you. See, it's the word of his grace. See, you can't allow doubt to rob you of the grace of God. Remember, doubt will cause you to judge yourself unqualified or disqualified from the grace of God. You can't allow doubt to rob you. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And then in the 19th chapter, verse 20, it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. See, the word of God is going to do its own work if you hold on to it. Our God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man as well. If God has said it, if he's spoken it, if he's promised it, then we can go to our graves if we have to, believe in it. We have to. The word of God is what has framed the universe. The word of God is which has brought us into being. The word of God has even established what your menu is. The Bible tells a man shall eat good by the words of his own mouth. So your menu, your cabinets are full of the manifestations of your own words. A man shall eat good by the words of his own mouth. Your words have declared what kind of place you live in, where you rest your home. And so your words are determining what kind of outcomes you're going to have, my brother. You cannot afford to allow doubt to rob you tonight. You can't afford to allow doubt to judge you out of the will of God, to judge you out of the mercy and the goodness of God tonight. You have to rise up tonight and look at the covering cherub and look at him and look down upon him. Make sure you're looking down upon the enemy, because the enemy is supposed to be underneath your feet. That's the place of triumph that the enemy has underneath your feet. That's it. As we close with this prayer, this concluding prayer right now. Father, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister tonight. And by the authority vested in the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord, we take authority over every covering cherub that has risen against us tonight, risen against my brother, risen against my sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, I bind up, I tie up, I fasten up, I chain up every demon, every unclean spirit every spirit of doubt, unbelief, every spirit of judgment, self-judgment, out of the will, out of the mercy, out of the grace and the goodness of God, I rebuke and bind up every assigned demon, every spirit of trauma, every spirit of lack, every spirit of failure and defeat, every spirit of poverty and lack, every spirit of limitation. I rebuke right now. I bind you up. I take authority over you right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the giant warrior angels, and I pray right now, God, that you would dispatch and send forth thousands and thousands of giant warrior angels with flaming swords of fire on behalf of my brother, on behalf of my sister, right now under the sound of my voice in Christ Jesus' name. Cause them to war against the covering cherubs, to war against the enemy in Christ Jesus' name. And Father, right now we repent tonight, Lord, where we have resisted the Spirit of God. We repent right now, and we break covenant with any spirits of doubt and unbelief, any spirits of rebellion and disobedience, and any spirits of perversion, any spirits of disaster, any spirits of corruption and collusion, Lord, deception, lying, violence, murder tonight. Father, we break covenant with any spirit that's not of God in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray, God, that the spirit of conviction would fall upon those under the sound of my voice, that the spirit of repentance would fall upon those under the sound of my voice tonight. And Lord, we repent. We break covenant with, Father, any league of demons, any things, any ideologies or concepts, Father, that are not of God. And even as Zacharias even counted himself out of the goodness and the favor and the mercy of God tonight, Father, and you struck him with dumbness where he could not say anything until the miracle happened. Right now tonight, I rebuke and bind up the covering cherub that would cause my brother and cause my sister not to declare what you have birthed in their hearts tonight. I rebuke and bind up the spirit of barrenness, the spirit of fruitlessness, Lord, in my brother, in my sister tonight. Lord, you've said that this is the time of birthing. This is the time of seeing, Father, what you have conceived in our hearts come to pass. And I pray, God, that you would cause, Father, the glory of God to fall upon us now, that you cause the glory of God to fall upon my brother, to fall upon my sister tonight in the name of Jesus, to fall upon them now under the sound of my voice. Holy Spirit, be released. Father, we pray, God, that you would forgive us where we doubted you. Forgive us where we, Lord God, we disbelieve the word. We unbelieve. We unbelieved what your word said. We unbelieve, Father, what you spoke to us. And we went against it anyway. And we judge your word invalid. Lord, tonight, forgive us, oh God, for lining up with the enemy against you and allowing the covering cherub to even put us in a place of defeat, a place of failure, a place of fear, a place of anxiety and worry. Father, forgive us, cleanse us, and wash us in your blood tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask, oh God, that you cause the blood of Jesus to purge us, cause the blood of Jesus to wash us, cause the blood of Jesus to saturate us and submerge us in victory, cause the blood of Jesus to speak on our behalf and bring us into a place of agreement with you again, oh God. Father, I pray, God, that you cause the spirit of faith to be released, even in the lives of those under the sound of my voice. Cause the faith of Jesus to fall upon us tonight. Cause the spirit of faith to fall upon us tonight. Cause the spirit of perseverance, Father, to fall upon us tonight. Cause us, Father, not to doubt you tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, cause us, Father, to covenant with you again and to see the victory won in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if there's someone that had not yielded themselves to the Lordship of Jesus tonight, Father, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. Everyone under the sound of my voice that has not yielded themselves to the Lordship and the rulership of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos, right now in the name of Jesus, my brother, my sister, welcome and receive the Lord of glory. Repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I believe what the Bible says about Jesus. The Bible says that if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him, Jesus, from the dead, the Bible says in the 10th chapter of Romans that I am saved, that I am redeemed. The Bible tells me that the born-again experience is mine. Father, I thank you right now, and I welcome Jesus as my King. I welcome Jesus as my Lord. I welcome Jesus as my Savior. Right now, I welcome Jesus into my heart. Father, I thank you right now, and I call upon you, Lord. I cry out to you, Lord. Lord Jesus, save me, redeem me, set me free, deliver me in the name of Jesus. Father, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Also, in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I am saved, that I am redeemed. I thank you that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, that I'm born again. Father, right now I pray that the power that raised Jesus from the dead will fall upon my brother, fall upon my sister, everyone under the sound of my voice, and I break the power of the covering cherub right now. I bind up all spirits of addiction. I bind up all spirits of violence and murder. I bind up all spirits of perversion and rebellion and disobedience. And I pray that the spirit of obedience will fall upon those under the sound of my voice. I pray that the spirit of faith would fall upon those under the sound of my voice. I pray that the spirit even of sanctification, consecration, and holiness would fall upon those under the sound of my voice now in Christ Jesus' name. Father, I set my brother, I set my sister apart right now, those under the sound of my voice. And I, Father, pray, God, that the spirit of praise, that the spirit of joy, that the spirit of worship, that the spirit of adoration, that the spirit of dancing, that the spirit of shouting, that the spirit of reveling in God, that the spirit of rejoicing would fall upon my sister, fall upon my brother now. Father, I trust you, God, that you move mightily, even upon those under the sound of my voice, to bring liberty, freedom, emancipation now in Christ Jesus' name. And Father, we give you glory and praise for this now. And we bless and praise you for the victory won. And even as Zacharias and Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, Father, I thank you right now for the birth of the prophetic right now in my brother, in my sister. And I thank you and bless you, God, for birthing new things, Father, that bring satisfaction, joy, and rejoicing, Father, throughout the body of Christ, even through these words. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and praise now, and we saturate and submerge and set this apart in the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Bless God.
Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. We just thank you, Apostle for the mighty word that God used you to bring forth tonight. I pray that everybody on the line or anyone that will hear this message or anyone on the internet will marinate on this word tonight and go tell somebody. Glory be to God. You can always go into www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International and listen to the broadcast again. Glory to God. And we just thank God for you, men of God.
Praise God.
Glory to God. We have a couple of minutes. First of all, Kingdom Daughters are the intercessors for Kingdom Builders. And we have a prayer line every day until Friday from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Then after Friday, it will be every Tuesday and every Friday morning from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And the number you can call is 218-895-0280, and the code is 7729. Glory be to God. And if you did accept Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, you can go to KingdomDaughters1@yahoo.com and let us know. We would love to send you an audio Bible or a Bible if you do not have one. If you have any comments or prayer requests, you can just let us know. We would love to stand in the faith fight with you. You are not alone. And again, meet us tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., intercessory prayer. God is truly moving, and this is truly pushing me out of my comfort zone, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Glory be to God. I'll be so excited. So come and join in with us. Glory to God. And I'm going to open up the lines. If there's anyone on the line that have a comment or a prayer request, you may come forth now. If you have noise in your background, can you please mute your phone? And thank you. So you may come forth now.
Praise God, Evangelist. This is Prophetess Teresa. And I just give honor to God, whom all honor is due. And I just thank you, Apostle, for that powerful, anointed word of encouragement that God used you to give to the people of God. And, you know, that is definitely the spirit of doubt is definitely a spirit that the enemy used to prevent God's people from moving forth.
Yes.
You know, need to be paid attention to, because doubt is an unbelief. You know, it says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
By the word of God. So it's important that we hear.
Yes.
The word of God. You know, and then I, as the apostle was going forth, I started thinking about, the Holy Spirit just brought to my memory how when Jesus said to Thomas, he said, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed.
Yes.
But he said, blessed are they that have not seen.
Yes.
And yet have believed. And that's John 20:29. So that makes me believe that there's a greater blessing on those who believe without seeing.
Yes.
So, you know, I just thank you, Apostle, because sometimes, you know, when God tells you to do something and the spirit of doubt will come in and tell you why you shouldn't do it.
Yes.
So we got to take our minds back to what the word says, and as Apostle said, put God to the test.
Yes.
You know, and then when you really, really think about it, sin, doubt is a sin against the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So we got to take this word and just embrace it. When doubt come in, you can identify it right away.
Yes.
You know it did not come from God.
Yes.
So we please him with our faith and, you know, just overcoming doubt. with our faith. And so I'm encouraged tonight. You know, sometimes when you know God tell you to do something and you start thinking about who going to help you with this and who going to do that, and but God already have it planned up and mapped out for you.
Yes.
He already have a ram in the bush. He already have
yes.
things in place. And all we have to do is step out on the water.
Yes.
Glory to God.
So I'm encouraged tonight with that word, and I just thank God for your apostle. And truly, we love you, and we love Living Way and just our church family all together. And we're encouraged just even to be in the ministry
yes.
of God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I received that. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hello.
Hello. Praise God.
Yeah. It's the Apostle
Clark. Right now. Praise God.
Oh, man of God. Even a telephone trying to act up, I was still able to hear you. Still able to receive that rich word, and we need that on a daily basis, because we are very blessed that we are able to fellowship with you throughout the week. But I praise God that the rest of the world is able to hear the richness that God has placed in your heart, and that they'll be enriched as we are. To know that doubt is not of God. And
no.
Just knowing that the many scriptures that you shared on how to overcome that doubt
yes.
is very powerful, very, very powerful. We love you. We praise God for you and your family. And we're very blessed. We don't take for granted. Maybe sometimes, I guess we do, but every time we think about it, we really praise God that we are blessed with a man of God that is humble and that talks and speaks the truth, researches
yeah.
the word, digs deep down in there, is affected by it himself, is convicted by it, and lives it. And so, God bless you, man of God. Continue doing the will of God.
Praise God. Praise God. I praise God for you, man of God. Praise God for you. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Well, again, Kingdom Builders International, thank God for everyone who has called in and for all our internet listeners. Glory be to God. And Apostle, you have any last words?
Well, first of all, again, we, woman of God, we praise God for you and for your stand in faith, and praise God for Minister, for Prophetess Teresa, and for Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters International, and for Brother Quinton, and for all of the brethren I have not met yet of Kingdom Builders International. Praise God for Apostle, Minister Apostle Clark Richardson. Again, I love you all. I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing through this venue, and we're just blessed, really. We really are. We're a lot more blessed than we think we are, and I, you know, it's just a joy to work with you all. It really is.
Glory to God. And again, Apostle will be on the first Tuesday again in July, and that will be July the 3rd. Glory to God.
July the what?
July the 3rd.
July the what?
3rd.
Oh, that's my birthday. How about that? That's going to be fun.
That's going to be fun, Apostle. Okay.
Yeah, if you were in fun, that's right.
If you were in fun, glory to God. I truly miss y'all, Living Way Christian Center.
We miss you too, woman of God.
I truly miss y'all.
And we want to continue to pray for those who are challenged, whether sickness, challenge with recovery. We know as a number that are, especially Minister James Campbell with the recent operation he had, and he's recovering, he's getting better and stronger daily.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And again, we thank everyone that has called in. Y'all continue to have a blessed week.
Hallelujah.
Evangelist.
And glory to God. Yes.
Before
yes,
you hang up, can I cover Apostle in prayer?
Oh, sure.
Praise God.
Thank you. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for all of the word that have went out of Apostle Emmons. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against him for the seed that he has sown to your people
yes,
shall prosper, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that the angels are encamped around him, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that when he lie down, that his sleep shall be sweet, Father. And, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that his ways shall please you. We thank you,
yes,
Father, that peace is upon him. We thank you, Lord God, that he delight himself in you and you are pleased with him, Father, in the name of Jesus. We lift up Living Way Christian Center, and
yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you, Father God, that whom you have given him to shepherd, Lord God. We just thank you, Father, that everyone in the ministry, Father, will follow after your heart in the name of Jesus. Father, as apostles go forth to do much more, signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow him in the name of Jesus. We thank
yes,
you,
Lord.
Father, for whom you have given to your people. And we thank you, Father, that all his needs are met. We thank you, Father, that the desires of his heart shall be established in every word that he say, Father. We thank you, Father, that it shall come to pass. In the mighty name of Jesus, there will be no backlashes, no retaliation. Satan, you are a liar. You have no power, no power over what he says and what he does. We thank you that successful his way is made in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you. Bless you. Praise God for you.
Good. Glory to God. And now we say we love you. God love you. And good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Bless God. Hallelujah.